It's Thursday, May 1st, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 11, listening to part one of a message titled, Holy Violence and the Kingdom of God.
You will be hated by all. He said openly, you should expect that this will not always be a peaceful endeavor. You're dealing with spiritual realities. And the main point today of what we're looking at is to expose the reason that the message was not being received. See how important that is for us today? To think through the anatomy, if you will, of why people don't receive the message, and then to ask the all-important question, have we received the message?
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 this morning, as we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew, and we move after these instructions in chapter 10 on Jesus sending out the 12 for on a sort of mission tour, if you will, anticipating the Great Commission, first going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we are looking today at Jesus dealing with response to the kingdom of God being announced. And that's the heart of this, particularly with John the Baptist. So we're looking at the first 20 verses today of Matthew chapter 11. Let's give our attention, page 969, to the word of the Lord. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by the disciples and said to them, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who's not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the law and the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. And there will end the reading of God's word. Well, we have been considering, beloved, the Christian ministry as Christ sent out his apostles on this trial mission, if you will, this run to go out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel for their training and to confirm that the kingdom of God had come with power. He gave them authority to do all these things, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to heal diseases, to do these wonderful miracles. Christ gave all kinds of instruction in chapter 10 on what they were to do and the ministry they were to follow. Remember what he said, preach openly everything that I've told you in secret. You preach the word of God. You give them that word even when they don't receive it. And you do it fearlessly. I don't want you fearing men, but I want you to fear God. Fear Him. Don't fear Him who can kill the body. Fear Him who can kill the body and soul in hell. Remember, your servants of value to the Lord. I care for you as servants sending you out. And I want you to confess me in front of men. May your ministries preach from the heart. May they tell people, have the aim to tell and confess me to the masses. So he's giving instruction to them. And we looked at how this applies to us, the character of the Christian, and how important that was. But in the heart of it, he was very clear about the opposition, wasn't he? You will be hated by all. He said openly, you should expect that this will not always be a peaceful endeavor. You're dealing with spiritual realities. I think it was Cornelius Santillo said he'd tell his students before they preached their first sermon, 15% of the congregation didn't like them. That's the challenge. There's a spiritual warfare going on. I'm shaking things up, said Jesus. Sometimes I'll put you in prison. I will do that. So you have witness. And that division will also come to your houses. I'm not just doing the family thing. I'm making a new family. So if people are too devoted that way, I'm going to break it up. I'm pulling out true Christians who are going to follow me and count all for loss for me. They will love me more than father and mother. See, that's what we looked at last time. You can expect that since I am calling people to worship me as Lord and to put me first, there's going to be divisions and it's going to make ministry challenging. It will expose loyalties. But then he left off with a great encouragement that he said, make sure when you go out and minister, you tell them, this was the whole thrust of it, those who receive the message, those who receive my word, peace will come to their houses. The very thing that they're trying to do will happen when the word is received. When the word is received. This is not some human word that's happening. This is what we've been our great problem in the church in America. We thought it's a human word. It's not a human word. The Lord is speaking through his word, sending servants to preach the everlasting gospel. And he says, when that word is received, you're receiving me. And when you receive me, you receive the Father. And tell them when they take a cup of cold water to a disciple, because he's a disciple, they will not lose their reward. Okay, well, that's summary. I think it's important to remember the context. That's why I spent a few minutes on that. Here we are now. Disciples have gone out. We are in chapter 11. He now addresses the crowds that have come out from some major Galilean cities. We have the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum here that Jesus is addressing. So it's kind of a whole unit to the end of the chapter, but it's too much to take on one sermon. But I want you to notice here what we have today is Jesus addressing the crowds from these cities that have been there, that have heard him, that have heard John. And had not received John and had not received him. In fact, I think you can make the case that in the previous section when he said, he who receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward, he was applying it right to John and then to Jesus. John is the prophet, Jesus is the righteous man. He was speaking of himself. And the main point today of what we're looking at is to expose the reason that the message was not being received. See how important that is for us today? To think through the anatomy, if you will, of why people don't receive the message. And then to ask the all-important question, have we received the message? That's what he's all about here. That's what he's emphasizing. Why didn't Israel receive it from John and then from Jesus? And here you have it explained, and it's surprising. And of course, Jesus in the next section gives a serious threat of judgment to these cities and households. But even in that, he says that can all be overturned as he ends this chapter by saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I mean, it's just, that's always the intention. It's beautiful. So What we have this morning is important because we're looking at the anatomy of what not receiving the word or not receiving the ministry looks like as people treat it as a human word and not the word that comes from above. So here we notice the evidence the kingdom has come. Jesus then makes a clarification about the kingdom, and then he addresses the response of the people to the kingdom. So that's what we're looking at here briefly this morning. Look at verse 1, and you'll notice when Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Those cities are mentioned down in verse 20. The ones he is about to pronounce woe. But all of this now centers around this figure of John the Baptist. We read in verse 2 that when John heard that Jesus was in prison and heard about, when John, in being in prison, heard about the deeds of Christ, my apologies, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" John had been such a popular figure in Israel that the crowds were all asking, "Is this Elijah?" They had all gone out to be baptized by him. John was calling people to repentance. He was doing it old covenant style, lawsuit style. He was saying things like, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't be presumptuous and say that you have Abraham as your father, for God is able to raise up stones and children from Abraham from these stones. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Bear fruits worthy of repentance." This was a prophet. John's message was calling people to repentance. But this is an interesting moment, because he's confused about Jesus. I often thought this is really something to study. Why would John be confused about Jesus? John is confused, and he sends disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one to come?" John had already said, "We beheld his glory. We saw the glory in John 1. So why is he saying this? Well, it's because John expected the Messiah to bring judgment right away. John expected the Messiah to bring judgment. Here's what happened. That's the kind of testosterone that attracted the people. We need a kingdom that comes with strength and with power and with muscle. We need to overcome the false teachers. We need to overcome the pagan rulers. We need a kingdom of muscle. This was Judaism nationalism at its best. That's what they wanted. John was wildly popular among the crowds for this reason, but they weren't listening to him. The crowds Jesus now turns to, and he says, "Listen, here's what happened. They didn't really accept or listen to John's call that they needed to repent." I thought, wow, this is some kind of preaching. Look at the power of this. Now he's in prison. Well, if you want to kill enthusiasm real quick, just throw somebody in prison, I suppose. It's died for John. A kingdom warrior who belongs to the Messiah's kingdom doesn't get barred up. The crowds are fickle. The people are fickle. So what happened was his popularity was dying in a moment. And he would soon be beheaded and he would be forgotten. That's not the warrior we thought that would bring in the kingdom. So John is confused himself about this. when he hears about Christ, it doesn't make sense to him. John expected immediate judgment. John expected the strength of the kingdom to come in Christ at that moment. John expected it to be dealt with in Christ, not himself. Well, Jesus is doing stuff that doesn't make sense. So he sends his disciples in front of the crowds. John's disciples walk up and they ask, "Are you the one?" The people have thought John was just a reed now shaken in the wind. He's fickle. He doesn't even know who the Messiah is. In a moment, he became nothing. It's interesting that in front of the people, Jesus says, "Go tell John this. I want you to go back and I want you to tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. Go tell them that, and then say this, 'And blessed is he who's not offended by me.'" That last line. That last line, huh? He just said, "John, remember what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied the acceptable year of the Messiah, that the gospel would be preached before the judgment, and that tells you that the kingdom of God has come." What awesome things were being shown, what awesome things were being said about the kingdom. He's healing people. Now think about this. He's healing people. He's forgiving people. He's preaching good news. He's preaching forgiveness. And then Jesus says, after all that, "Blessed is he who's not offended." Why would he have to say that? Why would that cause offense? That's the startling aspect of this. Even to this day, you know our culture. In our highly tense political moment, if Pastor Gordon became obnoxious, you might say I am. But I don't think I am, so that's what matters, right? If Pastor Gordon became obnoxious and made threats against the government and taught you all to rebel against Governor Newsom and to be men, and he used the language of Galatians 5 that promoted dissensions, rivalries, these kind of things against the government, you know, I think we'd get a lot of people in here. You might not want those kind of people, but I think that's what would happen. You could amass great interest right now. You could play this really well right now. I could play it. I think I'm smart enough to do it. But it wouldn't be honest, would it? I'd be playing a game with people. Forgiveness? You stay consistent with a message of forgiveness? You forgive your greatest of enemies. You love those who do bad, evil things to you. You pray for the worst of them. You want your worst enemy to come to faith. You want to heal the defiled. Nope. No way. It's not exciting. Blessed is he who's not offended by me. See? This is not what they wanted. They wanted the coming of the kingdom. They wanted judgment now. On all sides. It doesn't matter. On all sides. They wanted somebody by violence to come. Now listen, and take the kingdom by force. Hold that thought. He's going to address that. But the evidence that the kingdom has come was the evidence of good news of the gospel. But here's what was being said. The Son of Man is a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That is not what we need right now. That's not our idea of the kingdom. How sad. I mean, just how sad, right? They had no understanding of what they needed. Now, before we get to their response to all this and how Jesus characterizes it, he wanted to clarify the nature of the kingdom just for a minute. This is good. It's as if to say, let's talk about John just for a second. Let me raise this figure, John, for a second. I've got something to say about John. As John's disciples go away, Jesus addresses the crowds. I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Did I send out a man in that kind of soft, effeminate garb? You think he's fickle? You think he's weak because he's in prison? What'd you hear? That's what I want to talk to you about. Was he a reed shaken by the wind? What does that mean? Did he go like this in ministry? You should know what this is. It's very important. Because you can do this in ministry. What do the people want? Put up your finger. Lick it. See which way the wind's blowing. And give a message that panders to everyone. They'll love you for it. Did you get that? No, no, no. He wasn't playing with emotions. He wasn't attempting to gain a following. He wasn't a revolutionary. You saw his clothing. The clothing he wore said he has backbone, not soft clothing. You see all kinds of people today who will follow you for visions of grandeur. You see, what Jesus wants to draw out here is a direct line from John to him. Meaning, you saw a prophet and you heard what he had to say. And what did he have to say? He had to say a lot about Malachi, didn't he? He was fulfilling Malachi. He was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. And what was he fulfilling? Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. He was preaching repentance. He was preaching the road to my arrival. He was preparing the way for me. And you didn't listen to him because you're not coming to me. And then Jesus says, and those who come to me are in a much better position than John.
Well, that will do it for today. We're all out of time. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us next time for part two of this message in Matthew chapter 11. Until then, may God make all grace abound to you. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.